Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Carl Kerschel about his new series, Isola. Carl helped create a wide array of comics and graphic novels in his career, including Adventures of Superman, Majestic, All Flash, Teen Titans Year One, and Gotham Academy for DC Comics. He's also known as the author of the webcomic The Abominable Charles Christopher. Carl attended the 2018 Toronto Comic Arts Festival along with Brendan Fletcher in support of their new series Isola from Image Comics. Isola has become so popular that the first issue just received a third printing. Carl talked about his response to that success. He also talked about his influences for the series, including Studio Ghibli's Princess Mononoke. Before I go further, I encourage you to like this podcast wherever good podcasts are found, and definitely check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. Like us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so you can discover a lot more information about the Canadian comic book creators and supporters. And now, here's my chat with Carl Kerschel about Isola.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on the success of the series Isola. It's great work that you're doing. The book's so popular, it got issue number one, got a second printing, so that's terrific.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I just found out yesterday, and I guess, I don't know when you're going to run this podcast or article, but issue one is actually going to a third printing.
I was about to ask about that.
Yeah. And issue two is going to a second printing as well.
So there's my question. Were you surprised by the response to the series? I know that you believed in it, but what is your sort of feedback on the response that you're getting to it?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I guess I believed in it in as far as Brendan and I share similar tastes, very similar tastes, and it's been a long time working on something that sort of encapsulates those tastes in a way that's not compromised in any way. And those tastes are not for everyone. So the way we like to pace things and the way we like to tell stories, I thought it would be slightly more impenetrable for people, you know, because it's not an obvious setup and hook. It's the first issue is much slower than your typical first issue of a new series, especially for a fantasy series. It kind of, we just drop you into the middle of this story. And I was afraid of getting negative feedback about people not understanding what's happening or not being, you know, not being immediately interested. But it's been, I've seen very little of that kind of feedback. It's been, it's been very surprising. Everyone's been on board and happy, kind of happy to go along for the ride and let the mystery of this thing unfold, which is amazing. I'm delighted.
Well, it's a breath of fresh air, that's for sure. That's for sure. And when I first read the issues, it reminded me of Studio Ghibli's Princess Mononoke, and I didn't read any interviews or background or anything, and honestly, that was my first impression of it. And I guess that's as well for you. You had some inspiration there, and I was wanting to ask you about your influences and how you came to create this series.
Yeah, that stuff. All of the work of Hayao Miyazaki, whether it's Princess Mononoke or Nausicaa or Laputa or My Neighbor Totoro, that stuff is all deeply embedded in our tastes and our psyches. It's heavily inspired by that stuff. Never directly. I mean, I was talking to someone at TCAF about this. They were asking, to what extent that inspiration, how far does that inspiration go before it becomes just plagiarism? And I don't think my answer was that I'm very aware of that. I think the stuff is kind of coming out of our subconscious, and when and if we do write scenes that evoke too closely specific things in those movies, then I think we're the first people to notice it, and we'll edit that, because that's the last thing I want to do is copy that stuff. I love the feeling of it, the atmosphere of those films, and the kind of the spiritualism of them.
Right.
For lack of a better word, you know, like there's a quiet reverence for nature in all of those films that I think we share.
Speaking of nature, that brings me to another point. I noticed on your website you have a brief mention that you're an owl enthusiast. So wondering if that's true, if you're a birder, and do you look to nature for inspiration?
Yeah, I look to nature for inspiration all the time. I grew up south of you in the Niagara region, in Welland. So we grew up in a rural area. Brendan as well. He was in Waynflete. But yeah, we grew up with the woods behind us, and I'd be outside all the time going for walks, and there were a lot of wildlife. I used to actually draw animals almost exclusively when I was a kid. I don't know when that stopped. I became interested in superheroes and pursued that as a career. But when I started my webcomic, The Abominable Charles Christopher, it just sort of started pouring out of me. I just wanted to draw a lot of animals and nature, and then that ended up finding its way back into Isola. But yeah, that's how I grew up. I wouldn't say I'm a birder. I mean, I don't go out
Okay.
looking for birds. I kind of would like to be. I don't know if I have the time to do that. But I am enthusiastic about animals and birds. I really love, I love, like, I show different birds to my kids, and I can spot different bird calls. We have some falcons living outside our house now, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. So it definitely shows that the sort of inspiration in your work and the artwork is amazing. But one thing that struck me after reading the issues, it's that the majority of the panels don't have dialogue. And I'm wondering if that's a conscious effort or did that grow naturally as part of the storytelling?
I think it's just my taste, like I tend toward silent scenes. And the thing is, it's not that I don't like dialogue. I like it quite a lot. But in a story like this, first of all, I mean, right at the outset, it features two characters and only one of them can speak. So that limits the amount of dialogue you can have already. But also, so much of the kind of storytelling I like involves nuance, like just subtle character behavior, body language, and reactive glances and moments. And so when you spend as much time on the page doing that kind of reaction shot work as I do, then the dialogue becomes sort of redundant. Like, unless someone has to exposit something specific, I find that it just feels false to me. Like, if what we do is we write a lot of dialogue for our first pass at each issue, and then just to kind of get all the information out there, and then we just cut it back. We cut about 70-80% of it away because it just feels manufactured. It feels scripted and untrue. And if someone wouldn't realistically say a certain thing in a situation, then I don't like to. I'd rather just not have it there and
Right,
let the
right.
and let the that the scene be or the moment be subjective for the reader than spell it out and have it ring false. You know what I mean?
Well, that goes back to the filmmaker sort of style, I guess. It's show, don't tell. Don't have your characters talking all the time, expressing what they're feeling, like actually have them showing it. So that really helps a lot. I guess it's a bit different from the major, superhero type of stories. And now that Isola is a bona fide success, do you feel like you're getting recognition, or how does that feel, I guess, having recognition for your own creation versus one that's been created by others, like Superman, The Flash, or Teen Titans?
It's kind of early, but it feels good. I got a taste of that when I started the web comic several years ago, and while my career had been in superhero comics for a long time, slowly the people who would approach me at conventions were coming to talk to me about my web comic as opposed to my superhero work. And I think that's well, on one hand, I think it's because it's much more authorial. Like, I think you really see the author's hand in a personal work like that, especially when you're doing all of the work. And also, I think it's because my superhero work has always been very, like, with a couple of exceptions, has been very, I guess, don't know how to put it, kind of distanced from me personally. You know, like there are jobs that I do and I can enjoy them and get a bit involved in them, but they're not really me. You know, like my personality comes through a little bit, but because of the collaborative nature of the work and the fact that you're working on licensed stuff and it's, you know, it's short stories within a larger tapestry, it's kind of harder to make a mark that
Right,
way.
sure. I've heard from others that Image Comics, who publishes Isola, really helps creators tell their own stories. So I'm wanting to get your impression of the publisher itself.
Oh, well, I mean, I've got nothing but amazing things to say about Image Comics. I've been a fan of that publisher since they started. We like I remember being a fan of comics at you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, and then watching the Image thing unfold in real time, and it was hugely inspirational. We were Brendan and I were both at we were young, we were probably like 17 years old or something like that, or 18, but we went to the Chicago Comic Con in 1992, which was the year Image was formed. I think they formed in 91, but they first had a, you know, a presence at a convention in summer of 92, which was like they had a big tent that they set up there, and I saw all of those guys there, all the guys I'd been fans of, and I got signatures and I showed some my first portfolio stuff to Jim Valentino and Eric Larson there. And it was amazing. And I've just had, you know, I think it's been kind of my dream to eventually publish something through Image. And we almost did around 99 or 2000. Brendan and I were working on a large story that had kind of been given a green light at Image, but then sort of fell apart. And Isola is kind of the successor to that. But it feels amazing. I mean, Image is very, they could be characterized as being hands off in the process, but that's not really true. It's true sometimes. I mean, they'll basically leave you alone to create whatever you want, which is incredible. But then they do have a very strong support system of production people and marketing people who will guide you through the business of it, which is something that you generally don't have to do when you're doing freelance work for Marvel or DC or whomever. So we basically create a comic as, you know, as we'd like to, and then we get a lot of advice. I mean, you can take or leave that advice. You can basically do whatever you want, but they'll tell you what they think will work and what they think will be successful in the market. And we'll reach out to stores, and that's all stuff that I've never been privy to before. And I find it, it's very educational and it's very interesting. It's nice to have a, you know, a fuller sense of the industry you're working in that way. I really like talking to store owners because you get a very good idea of what works on shelves and what doesn't. And yeah, I mean, it's a much more fulfilling experience, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, they've been doing a great job. I mean, the promotion for your book is just tremendous, and they've been doing a bang up job, that's for sure. The thing I wanted to say, we're seeing more movie studios looking for more and more comic books for inspiration. I'm wondering if you think there's a chance that Isla might appear on the silver screen one day.
I guess there's a chance. I mean, people sniff around that stuff all the time. I mean, the way tastes are going in Hollywood now, it's you know, you don't really have to. You could put out basically anything in a comic book format, and someone will come asking about it. But we'll see. I mean, I don't put a lot of stock in that as like an actual thing that might happen, but it would be great. I would love to do like an animated feature. I mean, I think that would be amazing, especially like a traditional 2D cell animation, which we don't see enough of.
Right. Well, you never know. Keep your fingers crossed.
Never
So,
know. Yeah, it would be great, but I'm not holding my breath for it.
right. Okay. So, what's next for you, Carl? I know you're working on Isla really hard. Are there any other projects on the go or big events coming up?
No, Isola has pretty much taken up all my time. I'm moving to Japan for a year, so
Wow.
that's yeah. My wife is going to be teaching there, and so we're moving the whole
Amazing.
family there. Yeah. So that's the next big project, but I'll be working on the same stuff
Well, that's
just
cool.
love it.
I was going to ask you about that because I noticed in your Twitter feed you have a real fondness for Japanese anime, whether it's Robotech or Akira. So you're just going to go wild there.
Yeah, I guess I've been a couple times. I'm a huge Robotech Macross fan.
Wow.
It's really like my only real fan indulgence. Like I'll just buy a lot of Macross stuff, and everything else I've sort of given up. But that's something I can't let go of.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
Thanks,
well,
John.
thanks again, Carl. All the best to you then.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Carl for chatting with me. You can discover more about Carl on Twitter at @CarlKerschel and online at carlkerschel.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. I invite you to subscribe on iTunes, leave 5 stars and a great review, like and comment on the podcast, follow us on Twitter at True North Comics, on Facebook at facebook.com/TrueNorthCountryComics, and on Instagram at instagram.com/TrueNorthCountryComics. And please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics. Copyright 2018.